This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip. Last Friday, Putrajaya announced sweeping measures to reduce costs detailed in a Treasury circular to all government departments, state governments, statutory agencies and subsidiaries. The Treasury Secretary General Datuk Sri Asri Hamidun cited the increase in projected expenditure on assistance and subsidies as the rationale for cost-cutting measures.
Spending on assistance and subsidies is projected to be 77.7 billion this year compared to 31 billion that was approved in the national budget for 2022. So these new rules cover a wide range of activities and projects, including a reduction in travel allocations for government officials, restrictions on overtime and the creation of new posts in the civil service, and a review of development projects that have been yet to be implemented. Now, in response to the circular, Minister for Economic Affairs, Dato' Mustafa Mohamad, said that the government would postpone or not continue any projects that have yet to commence.
So what we're discussing this morning is, what are the implications of this cost-cutting exercise for really all stakeholders in the country? Joining us on the line for reactions to this move is Sri Murniati Yusuf, Deputy Research Director at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, better known as IDEAS. Uni, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So do you think the cost-cutting measures announced for the civil service will move the needle in terms of saving money for the government? The Treasury announced a host of measures. Which measures do you think will have the most significant impact?
Good morning. It's quite a significant, I mean, not significant measure, but quite a number of measures. But I think if we look into the target, for example, the government advised the civil service to, or the government agencies to reduce the spending to 5%. But should not impact the emoluments and I think retirement as well. So if we calculate, the saving would be from this alone, if they reach the target of 5%, about 5.8 billion. And that's still small if we want to reach the 77 billion of subsidy measures this year. So I think I don't see any, like, we can't choose one of these. We should do all of them if we really want to make significant impact in terms of expenditure reduction.
So as you say, right, we should do all of them. The question then is, why shouldn't we have done this much earlier then?
I think, well, it's a little bit difficult to comment from my side, but I think, well, like all of us, you know, the bell rings when situations come, you know, really worse. So I think it should have done it earlier. Some of the expenditure, for example, you know, you have to be careful in terms of promotions, overtime, outstations. But I think some of the measures, for example, like economic flight for senior civil servants, that I think something that is quite, is not always be done before. So I think difficult measures, difficult situations call for difficult measures this time.
Okay, in the meantime, QPEX has expressed concern that some of these measures, such as the restriction of new posts, could actually impact service delivery. How valid are these concerns, given the view that some have that the civil service in itself is bloated?
I think without research, it's quite difficult. I think, of course, there are certain concerns, for example, in health sector, where, of course, we are now seeing, again, a surge in terms of cases, and there's a possibility of, well, there's some strain, not as bad as before, but some civil service delivery may be impacted in the health, for example, or education. But I think if this is a difficult time, so we just have to do with whatever resources that we have. I think the impact will not be as big as expected, but research needs to be done to justify that.
Right. So there really needs to be monitoring of how this affects the civil service delivery. One of the things I've been curious about is, we know the civil service has traditionally been a major voting bloc. So do political considerations complicate efforts to reduce government operating expenditure? Is the reason why it took so long for these measures to be instituted is because of concerns of how, of what kind of backlash would be seen from the civil service, especially given we've got GE15 just around the corner?
I can't foresee, but I think for now the these measures does not have downsizing plan. There's no salary reductions or restructuring. So the emoluments and the salaries for civil service remain intact. So I don't see any significant impact in terms of QPEC. So if I think if downsizing and salary reductions, that probably will be impacting the civil service.
You know, Moni, we also talk a lot about operating expenditure, but can we just shift our focus to development expenditure, especially with the execution of 12th Malaysia Plan? I think what many of us raised our eyebrows was when Minister of Economic Affairs said that many projects would be reviewed or postponed or discontinued, right? So how will this affect 12th Malaysia Plan? And will there be any detrimental effect on infrastructure maintenance or welfare programs then?
I think, of course, there will be some impact, but I think this is the time where the government is really have to be strategic about choosing which areas of development that needs to be prioritized. Of course, cost-cutting measures need to be done. More selections of better contractors need to be done as well. So I think there will be some impact on the overall delivery of the 12th Malaysia Plan. There will be some delay in terms of some infrastructure development, for example. But it's very difficult for the government to do it as well. The other way, of course, to use a different form of financing, for example, public-private partnership. So that's one of the way that can be utilized during this difficult time. Of course, private sectors are not also in a difficult situation this time. But I think the government needs to think about different financing format in order to continue some of the development project that have been in put in place as a plan.
Uni, the other point I want to make is that aside from the fact that they want to defer projects, shouldn't the focus also be on when there is a project that needs to be done, that there is open tender, that there is no wastage, there is proper planning? Isn't that a focus too?
Of course, I think it goes without saying, but of course, unfortunately, it's not very well, it's not spoken out like very clearly in the Pekeliling, right? So I think that's something that needs to be emphasized, the fact that leakages, corruption and wastages have been part of making some of our expenditure become ineffective. So measures need to be taken in order for these leakages and corruptions and wastages actually need to be reduced significantly. I think ideas research in the past, for example, even from intransparent procurement will affect between 5 to 10%. So if we are more transparent in terms of procurement, for example, it can actually reduce the cost between 5 to 10%.
And I have another question, Uni, which is regarding to these cost-cutting measures. Now, they've been announced for civil service. I'm just curious, do you know whether this extends to ministers? Are they considered civil servants?
That I'm not sure. Probably they are not. But I think
they should walk the talk, right? Shouldn't they?
Yes, yes, they should. I mean, this will be. But I think if we see the Pekeliling, I think there are some mentions of special officers, ministers. So they have to also take some of this, especially flight, for example, and other measures that can reduce the cost.
Maybe it has to be voluntary then if it's not being imposed. But I guess the bigger question then is, are there any other ways that they can reduce expenditure outside in the world, right? Have you seen any innovative ideas out there that perhaps we can implement in Malaysia? Because what I'm hearing so far, all the low-hanging fruits, right? The governance, the improvements, the austerity measures per se.
It's very, very difficult. I think downsizing is one way in other countries doing it. I think UK did that, downsizing of the civil service. But if we see our budget now, the 67% of the operating expenditures are quite inevitable. 30% something for emoluments, and then for retirements, almost 50% actually for emoluments and retirement. And this doesn't include contract staff, which is not included in this emolument. So our operating expenditure for staffing only is quite high. And then on top of that, we have to pay debt service charge. So this alone, the inevitable is about 70% of our budget. So we only actually have only 30% to move the needle around in terms of operating expenditure. So it's very, very difficult. So I think for me, the government really need to sit now. They have planned to do expenditure review, I think, and then we see that where I think without that research, without the systematic review of our expenditure so far, it's very difficult to find ways that will be very effective in reducing expenditure, and at the same time without like significant impact on service delivery. So I think I can't say at the moment. I think without that research, it's very difficult, because given the size, the expenditure that we have now.
Uni, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Sri Murniati Yusof, Deputy Research Director at the Ideas Think Tank, weighing in on the government's decision to impose austerity measures for the civil service and whether this will have much effect in actually saving money for the government.
Sadly, not that much, actually, when you drill down in the numbers, right? It's definitely the right messaging, because the government does need to walk the talk in terms of saving money because of this extremely high subsidy bill. I'm curious whether it extends to the ministers, though.
I think you raised a really good point there, Shawnee, because we know that our cabinet is among the largest in the world, like 70 positions, and they're not doing it for free. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. That is a huge chunk of change right there.
And they, too, must walk the talk.
Well, I think the debate, as we say, right, the issue isn't really necessarily the salary, but it's the all-in pay they get, including the allowances. Because in Singapore, they're paid very well as well and handsomely, right? Mark to market. It's just that you can tie the performance with the delivery.
Yeah, there's clear KPIs. I mean, our ministers have the KPIs, right? But we don't know what those KPIs are, though.
It's a self-measured, self-assessment, right?
But I think the bigger issue is whether or not these cuts will make a dent. As you said just now, right, 77 billion was the expected budget. The budgeted number was 33 billion. There's a 40 billion gap in place. I don't think any amount of cost cutting, which you take out the emoluments part, will be able to cover that shortfall. So what can you do, really? Because I don't think downgrading, you know, staff all to economy class, yes, that will help a bit, but it won't be enough. So
no,
you really need
enough
to have other things.
You do need to think about in terms of raising government revenue in the first place and then do the cost cutting along the way.
Which then brings the question about GST and such, because I think cutting costs is easy. And as we say, right, when you start eating into development expenditure, it does compromise long term as well.
We'll be following this story as it unfolds. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We are heading into the 9 a.m. news bulletin. We'll check out how the KLCA opens after that. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.